could be a message from God to us, because as they are living godly lives, they're reflecting godly values and illustrating godly truth. Today, we're going to talk about the importance of paying attention. And we're going to look at how paying attention allows us to hear God. And I love the way that these kids illustrate how difficult it is truly to pay attention. Because if you want to see honestly what life looks like, you need to look at the life of a child, don't you? Because they're not fake. They're not trying to hide anything. They're not trying to keep anything from us. They're just living their lives. And I love how you see them trying so hard to do their job, but struggling so deeply with distraction. Especially when that distraction seems so fun. I don't know where they picked that little girl who played with the bubbles, but she did a great job. She was a master manipulator, because I know and you know that bubbles are not that much fun. They're fun, but there's no way that bubbles are as fun as those bubbles. She needs to be in commercials for toy products everywhere, because she could sell that lie, couldn't she? And even that girl, that door was inching open, wasn't it? It was inching open, and all of that, if we called it life, all of that life was about to just fall out and spill all over the floor and be some great, great mess. And I think that's oftentimes what we face when we're trying so desperately to pay attention to God and listen for God's voice. There are all kinds of things that pop up in our lives, and some of those are fun things, but when we're being really honest, there's tragedy that captures our attention as well, isn't there? There's hardship that captures our attention. And then there's also worry. Worry captures our attention. And we let go of that thing that we were supposed to hold on to. I think about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot's wife looking back because she couldn't pay attention to what God had called her to pay attention to. And she was so distracted that she lost sight of God's call. And I think about Peter trying to walk on water, but waves came, right? And worry came. And when that came, he began to sink, and he lost sight of the voice and the truth and the very image of God in Jesus Christ. So today, as we talk about listening to God, we're going to look at what it means to listen to God through Scripture, but also through our attention, through meditation, and by digging deeply into His will. So I want to open up with these words from Psalm 81, verses 8 through 14. Hear me, my people, and I will warn you. If you would only listen to me, Israel, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not worship any other god other than me. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. You get this picture of bird, a mother bird feeding other birds, or at least I do. Maybe I'm just gross. I don't know, but that's the picture I get. If you will trust me, I will put food directly in your mouth. Just listen to me. Don't be distracted by other gods. Don't turn to other sources than me. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. If my people would only listen to me, if they would only repent, if they would only make a U-turn and change the way that they're living their life, then I would come in and save them. You see, to listen To listen is much deeper than to just hear, isn't it? Just hearing something doesn't necessarily mean that you've listened. Wives can attest to that with their husbands, right? We know that our husbands have heard something, and some husbands to their wives. We know that our wives have heard something. We know that the sound came out of our mouths, and we know that the ears are fully functioning, so it beat against the membrane, and it got into the brain, but it just slipped right out there somewhere. And I don't know about you, but maybe have you ever had one of those conversations where somebody says to you, "You never said that. You never said that." And you know good and well you did. Right eye to eye, face to face, mouth to ear hole, you said it. And there's no doubt. And they would swear on a Bible that you didn't. Listening is more than just receiving sound waves. Listening calls us to action. It's why James 1:22 would say, do more than hear the word. Do what it says. Okay, so I'm going to give you a phrase that rhymes, and this phrase that rhymes will carry us through the day. It will be your challenge. It'll be your challenge for this week, okay? And here it is. It's to understand why, submit and apply. Okay? To understand why, submit and apply. There are a lot of things in Scripture that we don't fully understand. And if we would just do them, over time, I believe God would speak to us and we would begin to understand. Or you would have a life experience in which you did finally understand. Because here's the truth of the matter. Our direction in life is determined by what it is that we're paying attention to. Our direction in life is fully determined by what we are paying attention to. Has anything, if raise your hand if you've ever had your attention stolen from you. Right? Yeah, loud bang, boom. You know, your attention is taken away. Beautiful individual. You know, if you're a girl, it's a beautiful man. If you're a man, it's a beautiful woman. If you're married, then that was one of those times, okay? Just giving you a little bonus brownie point. You need to lean to your wife or husband and say, "Oh yeah, you did that for me," right? You captured my attention. I wasn't expecting to pay attention to that, but then she walked by, or then he made me laugh. And all of a sudden, my attention was diverted, and I began moving in his or her direction. One of the first things that you learn as a driver is that when you are making a turn, or when you are checking your mirrors to make a turn, when you look left, your tendency is to go ahead and pull the car left, because what you're paying attention to is determining your direction. So as we're talking about listening to God today, listening being more than just hearing the truth, but actually living by it. As we're talking about listening to God today, we're realizing that the direction that we're headed in directly influences how well we can listen. I want to share this quote with you from Charles Stanley in his book, How to Listen to God. If the priority of all our goals is to know God, then there must be more than just a one-way trip. If the priority of all our goals is to know God, then there must be more than just a one-way trip. There must be a communication link in which he speaks to us and we listen, or we speak to him and he listens. And when he wrote that, I thought about prayer a little bit, because I think prayer for us often becomes a one-way street. And I also think that scripture reading also becomes a one-way street. I think a lot of times when we dive into God's word, we listen to God, or we hear it, but we don't interact back with God. You know, and some ways that you can interact back with God is to pull out your notebook and write down your thoughts as you're reading Scripture. Or it can be to take a second and pause in prayer and pray to God, asking him about the understanding there and opening up the lines of communication. we need to expect both prayer and reading of Scripture to be a two-way street. You know, in the past, God spoke through dreams and visions, through the written word, through his prophets, through circumstances, through angels and the Holy Spirit. And in the present, we still see him speaking to us through his word, through other people, through the power of his Holy Spirit, through our circumstances. God is constantly speaking to us. And our question has to be, how are we, or how well are we, or how intently are we listening? Because here's the truth, you can come to and be a part of a worship service and be entertained. You can watch a video with kids and laugh at it. You can go to lunch and talk about those children, or you could hear a joke and you can talk about whether or not you liked the message, right? You can play that preacher critique game when you go out to eat, and you can talk through all those things and never have really heard what was said. You can be thoroughly entertained and still leave empty, right? For the most part, that's why we go to most of the movies that we go to. We're just looking for some entertainment, and every once in a while we get shocked, right? And I wasn't expecting that one to hit me so hard. I wasn't expecting that one to have that punch to it. I wasn't expecting to find some of God's truth in that story. And so we can be surprised by meat in our entertainment. But also, if we're not intentional, we can go after meat and wind up only eating air. You ever pick up your fork and try to eat something and it just falls off before you get to your mouth and you bite nothing? You've done that, Andrew? I've done it plenty of times. I don't know if I don't stab hard enough or what it is, but it's like sometimes my steak is actually Jell-O and it just falls right off. And there's been other times, you know what? There's been other times in my life where I've been so distracted by things that I've forgotten to eat. That ever happened to you? You've been so distracted, so preoccupied, so pushed to complete something that you forget to eat a meal. That happens to me a lot when I'm fishing. That happens to me a lot if I'm doing some kind of manual labor. I'll get so focused on getting that thing done that I'll forget to do the things that give me the energy to get the thing done. It happens to me all the time, and I'm willing to bet that it happens to you as well. We can be thoroughly entertained and still be empty. We can push really hard and wind up empty. We can work really hard at our Christian living and still wind up empty because from time to time we forget to eat. We forget what sustains us. And so what I say to you today is that in order to hear God, you must be willing to pay. It's no coincidence that we say, pay attention. Because the truth is, attention has a cost, doesn't it? In order for those kids to pay attention to that locker, they had to refuse to pay attention to that girl. They could not fully give that locker the attention that it needed while being drawn and pulled towards that young lady. And she did everything that she could to weaken their resolve. So I think about this. If you're going to pay attention to your diet, there's a cost, isn't there? There's a cost. You have to be willing to skip out on some tasty treats. There's an app, it's called Lose It. And several years ago, I put that on my phone. I was trying to drop a little bit of weight. And what it forced me to do was start to enter in every meal that I ate. And I started paying attention to what I was eating. And I started paying attention to how many calories were coming into my body. And you know what it made me do? It made me change my eating habits because I paid attention. And it cost me some food. But it produced results. If you start paying attention to your finances, you're going to have to start making financial sacrifices. A lot of us love to live blissfully unaware of where our finances are at. If you're in a marriage, chances are one of you is a bank watcher and the other one is just kind of a free spender, right? And so somebody else is paying attention for you. And that will bring pain, okay? Husbands, wives, if you refuse to pay attention to your finances, you will hurt your husband or your wife. There's a cost. There's a cost to paying attention, and there's a cost to not paying attention, isn't there? Entertainment choices. If I really started paying attention to what I was watching, what I was listening to, and what I was reading, I'd have to close some books, turn off some radios, or not go see some of the movies that I choose to watch. If I started paying attention to my health, I'd probably have to start exercising, wouldn't I? And we start having to decide whether or not it's worth it to pay attention. If I start paying attention to my marriage, I may have to change up the way I pursue some of my hobbies. Or I may have to change up how many hours I choose to work. And start paying attention to the excuses that I make for that. If I want to start paying attention to God, I have to decide to move beyond just hearing God's word and actually doing what it says. If I want to experience the voice of God in my life, if I really want to hear God, I'm going to have to actually do some things. And those things are going to cost me. I'm going to have to live counterculturally. I'm going to have to stand out and be set apart from some of the things that some of my friends do. And it's going to hurt because paying attention to God has a cost. I'm going to have to start noticing some people who are underprivileged and doing something about that situation. It's going to cost me. If all I do is read Scripture and attend church services, I'm not ever going to truly hear God. I just want you to know that. You can read Scripture and you can go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday and you can be a part of a small group and never hear God. You can hear your friends. You can hang out with your friends. You can be entertained. But you will not hear God. If you want to hear God, you've got to trust Him. Because Jesus said, if you will seek me, if you will seek me, then you will find me. Love these things. But they're great, aren't they? Your ears ever been clogged? You ever had a hard time hearing because your hearing was obstructed? I think this is what Jesus is addressing when he opens up his parables with the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. When he says, hey, if you've got ears, I need you to hear. Jesus opens up his series of parables with a parable about why he tells parables. Most of us, we value clarity in the way that we speak, don't we? We want somebody to tell us how it is, tell us straight, and then get out of our way, right? So we can go do. Jesus refused to do that. And the reason Jesus refused to do that is because he knew that our ears were clogged. Parables are a spiritual Q-tip, if you will, for our lives. They serve to dig in the ear canal and clean out the ear so we can really begin to hear what it is that God has for us. So we'll read this parable and we'll make a few observations. And then we'll finish up. This is Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what's been sown in his heart. This is what's sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the word and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, and another 60, and in another 30. Jesus' followers were curious as to why he told this story about a sower going out into the field and sowing seed. Instead of just being direct with his followers, and Jesus says, I want you to hear this story again. And so he lays out these scenarios just a little bit more plainly. And he says, hey, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. It's important for us to realize that when Jesus talks about understanding, he's not talking about mental clarity in this moment, because Jewish people had no concept of brain activity. It's what they would call the heart. It's when thought and action bear fruit. That's what understanding was. He wasn't saying, hey, listen to my sermon, listen to my story, and know what it means. He's saying when somebody listens to it and lives it out, or in this case, when somebody hears the word and doesn't live it out. And the important thing for us to realize about this parable and all parables of Jesus is, as Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 4, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is a story about repentance. This is a story about changing your life and turning. It's a story of hope, because if we can repent, we can change. So all of Jesus' parables are a call for us to look at our own lives and discover and listen and see if we need to make change. Because the story or the parable of the sower is a parable of you and your soul or your soil becoming different. And you being responsible for your own soil. And that is what the parable of the sower is getting at. So a man hears the word, but he doesn't understand it. In other words, he doesn't take it to heart and live it out. And when he doesn't immediately live out what he hears, Satan's all over that. Satan's all over that. He takes the very word out of his mind. He rips it away. And it's gone from him. And he loses what he has already heard. Maybe you're in that place in your life today where you've been doing a lot of hearing words, but very little of living them out. And you find yourself in a place where you have trouble understanding. Because understanding is not simply meant to be a mental exercise. He says, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself. Maybe you've had those moments in life where you've had an experience and it's given you pleasure in Jesus Christ. Right? And you made moves towards salvation. Maybe you gave your life to Christ in that moment. But then a hardship came and you discovered that faith wasn't planted deep. That faith wasn't planted deep. And that persecution and hardship immediately began to pull you away. We said that it's not only fun that distracts us, right? Sometimes it's pain that can distract us. Sometimes it's worry that can distract us. Do you have ears to listen to that? He says, the one that hears the word and understands it, he indeed bears fruit. The one who hears the word and understands it is the one who will bear fruit. I think I skipped one. He says, what was sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word out, and it proves unfaithful. Maybe you've looked at your life and entertainment and pleasure and wealth have asphyxiated the Spirit of God within you, and it's made it hard for you to breathe spiritually. Or maybe you're like this last one, and you've been hearing the word and understanding it. And the way that you can determine whether you are that soil is you can look at the fruit of your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Because living this life will produce results. And in living this life, you will hear God. So to understand why, submit and apply. You may be in a place in life where you don't understand why God would ask you to miss out on certain situations. And God calls you to be faithful and trust that He will reveal His truth. Or you may be in a situation where you don't understand why you doing the right thing is bringing about huge amounts of persecution to you. And God says, stay faithful and hear me. You may not understand why it is that the rest of your family seems to be doing great. And you, the one who's trying, seems to be catching all the junk. And God says, stay faithful. Not just because it's the right thing to do, but because He Himself is faithful. I'll leave you with these words from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your lives as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by mind renewal. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. When you live this out, you will be able to test and approve of what God's will is. So to hear God, obey God. And to understand why, submit and apply. So maybe there's some of us who still need to make submitting to God our priority. Some of us who need to give our lives to God. Some of us who need to change our soil composition. Some of us who need to keep on keeping on and keep holding that door. And maybe need some help avoiding and not paying attention to distractions. And some of us who just need to lift up some praise to the Lord. If any of those things describe you, we give you this opportunity together while we stand and we sing.